Gelukyanov on the critical values of the Yang-Yang functional in the quantum Stein-Gordon.
All right. It's a great pleasure to be here, and I would like to thank the organizer for this great opportunity. So, here's the most part of my talk. I will discuss kind of generalizations of the relations, which I call Penn-Desselleres-Zumalovich relations. It's about the Stein-Gordon model. And the main player in this generalization will be so-called some interesting functions, which is, and I will discuss the meaning of these functions. It turned out to be the so-called Yang-Yang functional. But before I proceed with the technical details, let me start with a few general words. When in the domain of integrable system, particular integrable field theory, we clearly see two subdomains, and they look like very well separated, like a classical integrability quantum one. Classical, and the method of this, in this, subjects looks very different. So in the classical, from the classical integrable system, the most powerful approach is based on the theory of as an monodromic deformations. And at the same time, in quantum case, we have a very different approaches, like a beta ansatz, a factorizable method, and so on, and the questions, well, of course, it should be the relation between the quantum integrable system and the classical one. And there is a trivial relation. The most quantum systems possess some kind of classical limit. And so, of course, you can get some information about the classical quantum system from the classical classical integrable system. But of course, it's not very interesting because, well, it's kind of trivial relation. But the recent years, you see very different story. And we see that the relation may be between the classical and quantum integrability, quantum field theory at least, may be much more interesting. In fact, the both of these approaches just a different, show the different phases of the same, this mathematical structure. Let me just illustrate this by some simple example. Actually, it would be some good opportunity to introduce some notation that will be useful for the further discussions. The model, first of all, I want to consider the simplest situations. In particular, I want to consider the, not a quantum field theory, start with not quantum field theory, but with just which is one. With a, like this? Oh, okay. With a quantum mechanics. So relations between the some quantum mechanical problem and the ordinary differential equations. Okay. The model which we start with is a textbook example, quantum mechanical example, of the particles and the periodic potentials, the particle and the cosine potential. And we know very well what happened in these situations. The spectrum in this case is not discrete, it's continuous, it's labeled by the some quantities, so-called quasi-momentum. Okay. So this parameter labeled the value of, so we all the spectra split on the band, on the zones, on the band. So this is a picture of the first conducting zone for this quantum mechanical problem. In mathematical literature, the these equations known as the Mathieu equations. So here I trade the variables, the energy for another variables A, and the strength of potential can be measured in the variables. It would be convenient for me using the parameter R. And this is a picture from handbook. of the special functions, it shows how the width of the band depend on the parameter which control the strength of the potential. So the green one is the first conducting band, then we have a yellow and a red one. And remarkably, that this picture is somewhat related to some classical differential equations, namely, now I'm going to talk about the classical counterpart of these relations. It's a so-called equations which I have in mind. It's Spindler-Webb three equations. This is a ordinary differential equations. You can think about this as a Newton equations with the, where the forces depend on velocity and also depend on time. So anyway, this is famous equations. And what's interesting about the equation that the structure of singularity. Actually, the complete descriptions of the possible singularities. This is nonlinear equation, so it's clearly once we start with differentiated, for example, start with some initial data, we expect to have some singularity. And the singularity, the only possible singularities here are double poles. So movable poles, movable in the sense that it depends on initial data. Suppose you start to integrate these equations, you will observe at some point the double poles, and then the parameter R is the position of the pole. And then, actually, the solution possesses convergent Lorentz expansions in the vicinity of this pole. And, it also depends on some parameters. There were some free parameters here, which is just you can choose constant terms in the Lorentz expansion, but I would prefer to parameterize it by the parameter A here. So you see for and all other terms in the Lorentz expansion would be the functions of R and A. So it's a two constant integration constant for Spindler-Webb equation. And this is the only possible movable singularities for the Spindler-Webb 3 equations. But also there's also two special points. T equals zero and T equals infinity. And that as for this point, the only possible singularities can be essential singularities, namely its accumulation point for the second order poles. Or there is also possibility to have a solutions with the power law behavior. And as for the T equals infinity, here, that again, it may be accumulation point for the second order poles. And or it, there is some solution which possess the behavior Q goes to 1, you see that would be clearly the solutions of Q equal 1, the solution of the equations. And now the question, we can ask the question. Suppose we start with this solutions which possess the Lorentz expansion of this type, parameterized by, we have parameterized the R and A, two parameters here, and what would be restriction, What restriction we should impose in order to have the singularity of this type? In general, we expect the accumulations of the pole of the same types. Zero would be the essential singularities. But now the question is, what would be the restriction for the parameter R and A in order to have this behavior? And an answer on these questions exactly shown in this picture. So the statement that if you take the stability diagram for the Mathieu equations and choose any point inside the conducting zone, then the solution would be exactly develop the proper behavior. If you choose the value R and I in the forbidden zone, then the Spindler-Webb solution of Spindler-Webb equations will possess essential singularities and at t equals zero with accumulation of the second order poles. So you see that there is a deep remarkable relation between spectrum of quantum mechanical problem and some classical equations, ordinary differential equations. And remarkably, that this relation is not accidental and it can be generalized for the quantum field theory as well. And the generalizations, the model which I'm going to discuss, the quantum field theory model, already discussed, has been discussed in the morning today by Professor Jimba. It's a quantum Sine-Gordon model. So they're described by these actions. I will we'll consider the theory on a with the space-time space compactifies on Sokol, so the periodic boundary conditions. He imposed periodic boundary conditions from the x direction. And again, for the same reason as it was for Mathieu equations, the spectrum, the whole spectrum of the theory in finite volume, split it on the Hilbert space called HK, and each characterized which are agent spaces for the symmetry transformations, for generator of the symmetry, evident symmetry of the Lagrangian, and so the any state will be characterized by the certain value of quasi-momentum, as well as the same way as it was for Mathieu equations. Okay, now in each sector we can choose the state with the lowest energy vacuum, and it would be some energy. So I will denote it by the letter AK. In fact, I will consider some scaling functions. It's a dimensional function, so we consider dimensionless scaling functions, which is a function of three variables, functions of the size of the systems, measured in the unit of Carolingian length. In other words, it's a Carolingian length here, it's inverse soliton mass. Also, it's, of course, it depends on coupling constant and depends on quasi-momentum. So that will be the subject of my interest. Okay, first of all, let me say a few words about the coupling constant. Well, it's the coupling constant beta, there is some natural restriction for this. In particular, the few points on the on the dagger, for a few special points. First of all, the beta squared goes to zero. It's a semi-classical point. Also, there is a special point, beta squared equal 8 pi. It's so-called Kosterlitz-Stalus point. In this point, the system developed the fast transitions. And so we're interested actually in the domain between these two points. And between them, there is a point, so-called free fermion point, when the system can be described in terms of free massive Dirac fermions. Actually, I want to trade these variables for another coupling, coupling beta would be more useful. It would be useful to introduce this coupling, so-called renormalized coupling, I call it high. Well, this simple transformation brings this segment to the ray. And so Kosterlitz-Stalus point goes to infinity. Free fermion point would be high equal 1. And the point which is actually, there is another one more point which is very interesting and special. It's between the Kosterlitz-Stalus point and the free fermion point, somewhere here. So it's far away from the hemiclassical point. And this is a so-called n equal 2 supersymmetric. Actually, in the previous talk, Paul mentioned already mentioned the point of which is actually very related to this situation. Q. What do you mean? SU2Q. Right. Q. Well, yes, yes. Well, but it's a special value of Q. When the quantum room became the super out. All right, and what's special in this point? And first of all, this point describes some interesting physical situations, so-called self-avoiding polymer problem. It was observed by Hubert Salor in 1991. And it was observed that this point, at this point, the system possesses supersymmetry. But this supersymmetry is spontaneously broken. It means the energy as a function of the energy, it's not a ground state energy, it's not vanished. for arbitrary value of k, it's vanished only for k equal plus minus 5 as it required by supersymmetry. So for k equal plus minus 4, the supersymmetry is not broken, and indeed it would be the symmetry, unbroken symmetry of the problem. So this is a special, so this is a special value of quasi-moment. And almost the same time, it was developed with some series of remarkable work due to Chakotay and Wafa, and then Chakotay-Fendley interligator Wafa, where the machinery, there was some development of the two-dimensional supersymmetric, n equal to supersymmetric quantum field theory. And once this machinery applied to this particular case, it gives some remarkable predictions. Namely, the first prediction I would like to mention, the first relation I would like to mention, is I call it Fendley-Sallier relation. And that's say that if, of course, the energy, remember that the supersymmetry is not broken when k equal plus minus 4, but the derivative, derivative of the energy with respect to quasi-momentum is not zero. And now the statement that this derivative is expressed in terms of solution of Penleve transcendent. Now, so it's expressed in terms of function u, and my previous transparency that was a function q, and it's just a logarithm u, it's a logarithm of q. And the equation looks, the third Penleve equation looks nicer in these variables. And there are special solutions. We need actually remember that in principle we expect some singularity for the Penleve equations. But here we are interested in solutions which is regular everywhere for any finite t. So, in decay, so it tends to q equal 1 at t equal to infinity and develop the power law behavior in terms of q, if you now rewrite this asymptotic terms of q. This is a very special solution. I will call it Penleve transcendent special functions. But this asymptotic condition fixes this solution uniquely. And so the right-hand side of equation defined unambiguously. And this is the first relations. And later on, in a few years later, Alyosha Zamolochikov found another mysterious relation. So it's expressed now, it expressed the derivative of the energy with respect to the coupling. Not with respect to the, here the derivative with respect to k, but now it's derivative with respect to the coupling constant. And again, this derivative be expressed in terms of the solution, the same equations. And for a long time, the general consensus was that this remarkable, this very elegant, this elegant relations, of course, but the consensus was that they are due to the accidental symmetry. So it cannot be, they do not admit any generalization for arbitrary value of coupling and k. About a few years ago, there was some indication that's not maybe not true. And these indications come from the work of Gaiota, Moore, and Netsky. And they found that some interesting relation between the partial differential equation solved by the inverse scattering method and some TBA systems. In particular, for some TBA equations, which they considered, exactly coincide with the TBA equations for the Sine-Gordon model, but for the coupling and quasi-momentum different than we just discussed. K equal 4, 1, 4, and xi equal 2. That was actually remarkable observations. And finally, with Sasha Zamolochik, we found such a generalizations, found the equations which is relevant for classical equations which is relevant for Singh-Gordon for quantum Sine-Gordon. This equation so-called would be called modifying Singh-Gordon equations. These equations of this type. These equations already appeared in this conference yesterday, and. Well, it's a long story, This equation actually discussed a lot in mathematical literature in context of some construction of context of differential geometry. Then it brings to the attention physicists when in calculations, used the calculations of strong coupling limit of the gluon, of the gluon amplitudes. But anyway, so this is equations. And equations, which will be, which I'm going to discuss today, it corresponds to some particular choice of the function p, which is assumed to be fixed, is given. And equations would correspond the choice, it would be double equations. So that by, with analytical functions, S here, alpha and S, so two parameters here. And of course, we need to impose some conditions for the solution, to fix the solution ambiguously. And the conditions for the solution formulated as follows. So we see, clearly we see that this, the equation possesses a symmetry. Without this if p equal 1, then this clearly the equation possesses the rotational symmetry in the Wall Street, right? But if p in this form, that we have the symmetry, we can rotate only the fixed angle, which is proportional to the 1 over the alpha, pi over the alpha. If you rotate on this angle, then p, the function p remains the same, and it is symmetry. And we would consider the solution which respects the symmetry, then it continues. Also require that the solutions, well, in general, we expect that the solution will exponentially grow. But we impose the condition that we fix the restrict the, this growth somehow. We'll see how it. And also, the behavior of, we specify the behavior, symplectic behavior as z go to zero. In other words, we can say in a different, slightly different manner, so we consider the solutions of the modified Singh-Gordon equations on a quorum, right? Because of this, we solution respect the symmetry, we identify, in general, defined on the wedge, and we identify the edges of this wedge. As a result, we get a cone, and the solutions would be behavioral solutions at the apex controlled by the parameter L here. And the statement, then, the modifying Singh-Gordon equation is integrable equations. It possesses infinite number of integral of motions, which can be written as a integral over the local density of this form like this. You just need to specify the sum integration contour. And because of the continuity equations, the choice of the contour will depend on the topology. In particular, for example, this contour can be deformed to that one, the equivalent, the integrals. So they possess the, and the statement then this quantity is integral of motion, classical integral of motions, it just means that that doesn't depend on the choice of the contour. So you slightly move, change the positions of the contour, and it will not affect on the value of the integral. And our statement with our statement with Sasha, in the paper with Sasha, was that this classical integral of motion actually exactly coincides with the quantum integral of motions in the Singh-Gordon model calculated on the vacuums. You see, this is a relation which I had in mind when I talked about the quantum and classical integrability. You have a classical, pure classical systems. We calculate the integral of motions in the classical systems. And we have a quantum systems, and we calculate the quantum integral of motions. And they're the same. No limits, no. We just need to identify the parameters, of course, here. And here is the identification parameter. The parameter, the inverse, the coupling constant, the renormalized coupling constant, it's just an angle. Up to the factor pi, it's the angle of this cone. And parameter L simply related with the quasi-momentum. Remember that L is controlled the asymptotic behavior at the apex. And the parameter, the size of the system measured in the unit of correlation length relating to the parameter of the modified Singh-Gordon equation, S. All right. Okay, and now, let me just emphasize that modified Singh-Gordon equation, this is not a new equation. Actually, by doing the conformal transformations, by performing the conformal transformations, we can map, well, let's take the, our cone, cut it along the line A and B, and perform the conformal transformations of this form. This is, and then you, these conformal transformations transform the wedge to the domain like this. The point B, the B and B tilde would be the images of the same point B on the cone. A, it's an apex. Of course, the, this angle is the same because it's conformal transformation, preserve the angles. And after this, well, so if you also shift the variables, then after this conformal transformation, bring the modifying Sinch-Gordon equation to the usual Sinch-Gordon form. So, of course, so the language of modifying Sinch-Gordon equations and Sinch-Gordon equations, this is, actually, this is the same equations. But when you have a, for modifying Sinch-Gordon equation, it's easy to formulate the boundary conditions. You know, that's clear, with a clear geometrical picture of world sheet here. For Sinch-Gordon equations, we have a simpler equations, but the price we pay for this, a strange domain of a strange domain where we are going to solve these equations, right? It looks very strange, unusual, because this rays, these two rays should, and this segment should be identified. It's very strange boundary conditions. So that's something unusual. All right. Now, to discuss the generalizations of Fendler-Sandler Zamolodchikov equations, I will need one extra ingredient, so-called action for this Sinch-Gordon equation. Of course, the Sinch-Gordon, modified Sinch-Gordon equation, Sinch-Gordon equations, Lagrangian equations, there exist Lagrangian and actions, and the equation of motion can be obtained from the variational principle. How they look like? Well, actually, this story, this we already discussed yesterday in the talk, Janek talk. So they're very general strategy. We have an equation with the singularity, so we should care about the pinches here. So we should, the standard procedure is to cut the small holes, start with the regularized action, and then we need to add some boundary terms, the integral over the arcs, small arcs here. You see the three arcs here, small arcs, and we should add them in such a way to guarantee the, to provide the boundary conditions. So then if you take the action in this form, the variation of this action will vanish if the Sinch-Gordon equations and boundary conditions satisfy. So this is actually extremum condition for this function would provide necessary conditions for equation of motions and the boundary conditions. All right, and also there are two terms, which is field-independent terms, and they include them in order to have the convergence. Otherwise, there is no convergence. Finally, I would like to send the small small radius epsilon to zero. Okay, and once we have the solution, then we can solve the, for example, if you have a solution, we can calculate the on-shell action. So calculate the value of this functional on the solutions. I will denote it by now. So now it became a function, right? This would be some function of three variables, R, alpha, and L. And it's on-shell actions. And what I'm going to, what we discuss now, how this, what would be the variation of this function with respect to the parameters, L, alpha, and R? Let's start with the variation with respect to parameter L. It's very easy now, because once you consider this variation, this is on shell action. So when you consider the variation, don't care about the fields, because in variation, it's on shell, right? So what you need to do is only change the explicit dependence of the action on the parameter L. So only two terms, only two boundary terms. If you do this, then you immediately see that the derivative of the on-shell action proportional to the value of the solution, regularized value of the solution on the apex. Remember that the solutions develop logarithmic singularities, so we should, well, but we can subtract this divergency. As a result, we get the constant, which I regularized, so we, and the derivative of the action coincides with the, this constant. Okay, we now can consider the variation with respect to the angle, with respect to the angle, but it, this is very simple. Kind of electrostatic problem, the same type of problem as standard electrostatic appears in electrostatic, and how we can do this. Remember, the equation, the system, the variations of with respect to alpha, it's proportional to the torque, which is expressed in terms of energy momentum tensor. And on shell, the, of course, the energy momentum tensor it's conserved quantities, right? For this reason, we can always, it's a second, it's a symmetric tensor, symmetric tensor, and we can always express on shell value of this tensor in terms of the one single scalar potential phi in this form. This is general solution of this equation to dimensions. Okay, and now the integral can be done explicitly, immediately, and the variations of the action with respect to the angle expressed again in terms of the value, regularized value of the solution, but also it will express on the value of the potential, regularized value of the potential at the apex. Well, you can easily see that once eta develops this logarithmic singularity, then the potential will be developed as the same logarithm, some logarithmic behavior with exponent to R squared. Okay. And finally, we may consider the variation with respect to R. But remember, what is R? The R is a parameter with the set, the overall scale of the systems, right? So it's the only parameters, only it's defined the size. Parameter alpha, it's defined the geometry, R defined the size of the system. So variations with respect to R express, of course, it's a dilations. And of course, this variation expressed in terms of the integral of the trace of energy momentum tensor, which is a Laplacian of the potential. And since, so we have an integral here over the Laplacian, and of course, this integral can be bring to the boundary. This was discussed yesterday, actually, in terms of the Riemann identities and something like this, but in a fashion way, more fashion way. But the idea is very simple. So once you express everything in terms of the potential, then it's easy. The whole calculation is very simple, elementary became. And so derivative now express, you can, this two-fold integral reduced to the just the integral over the cycle of the non-trivial contour C. And this integral is nothing but you can, well, identify it, you can think about this quantity about the line integral, the energy, classical energy of the, for the Singe-Gordon equation. So this is the third solution. Finally, we see the three equations here. Derivative and compatibility condition, now we can consider the cross derivative, right? And find, I introduce here these combinations of integral classical energy, F classical energy. And you see that we have a relations, we have a relation between the derivative of the classical energy and the constant eta and phi. And finally, what we need to use, we need to use the result, our result is Sasha Zamolochikov, and where we identify this classical energy with the quantum one. Quantum, the energy for the quantum Sayn-Gordon systems. And again, we provided that the parameter related in the same the way we just discussed. Okay, what is, well, in fact, the energy, usually in Sayn-Gordon theory, the energy defined in this, historically, probably, the definition of the energy. And in quantum field theory, the energy defined in a finite system defined such a way that it turned to be zero at infinite large systems, right? And historically, in Sein-Gordon model, the energy finds slightly different way. So we need to subtract, make subtractions, which correspond to where E infinity is a specific energy, so energy per unit length. Then the resulting quantity would turn to be zero as the size of the system decays to infinity. Okay, so at the result, we have these relations. Fine, we have a relations derivative of the energy Sein-Gordon system model. We express in terms of the solutions in the some quantities from appeared in the classical Sinch-Gordon equation. And what if you take a look closely on this equation, that is, they're at xi equal two, they be exactly the relations. Fendler-Sallier Zamolodchikov relation, because in this case, xi equal to the apex angle became 2 pi. The solution actually expressed in terms, and there is no singularity at L equals 0. And the solutions expressed in terms of this Fendler 3 transcendent. Then the value, if A is with the value, if you now set W equal to WA, so that the argument became R, this distance R over 4, then you see that this derivative is not a derivative of the solution of the Fendler equation with respect to R. And we also have a relation, general relation for the potentials. In this particular case, we can integrate it because because of rotational symmetry, restore rotational symmetry, and express in terms of the Fendler equation. Okay, so you see that now, and the final in this derivation, the crucial the main role belongs to this action, critical on shell actions of Sinch-Gordon equations, and then it's natural questions here: what are the meaning of this quantity in the Sein-Gordon theory itself? Right? It's clear what the meaning of this quantity in Sinch-Gordon equation, classical equation, is quite easy, understandable, right? It's on-shell actions. Now, what's the meaning of the quantity, this quantity in the Sein-Gordon theory? And before I will discuss this, I want to emphasize that the action itself, right, the action, how it was defined, we can always add any constant, right? We didn't impose any normalization, just choose arbitrary. Normalization was chosen arbitrary. So at this point, we can choose some proper normalizations of our on-shell action. In particular, we, as R goes to infinity, we can, the action turns to be some constant, and then we can always subtract this constant from the actions. And as a result, we get the functions. I call it this is a special, some special, I use a special notation Y. And that would be proper, that would be still on-shell actions, but properly normalized by the conditions, which is vanished as R goes to infinity. And in this case, it's simply expressed in terms of, for this normalization, it's expressed in terms of the energy in a very simple way, like a single integral. And particularly in R equal, and this formula is very useful to study the large distance, large R behavior. But for small r, it's not particularly convenient. It says r goes to infinity, then the general knowledge that this, the theory will, in this case, the Sein-Gordon theory, described by conformal field theory, and this combination would be tends to the constant, some constant, which is proportional to the effective central charge. So for this reason, the same functions, y, we can rewrite the same formula in a slightly different way, which is suitable for calculations of small r behavior. This is equivalent. Of course, some integration constant appeared here. What's important that the function would develop the short distance behavior, logarithmic behavior with some constant. But this constant y0, it's a quite universal constant. So the quite interesting, and it's calculable. Of course, you can calculate this constant. This is explicit formula. Unfortunately, I don't have a time to discuss this, but it's a rather important characteristic of the theory. But anyway, now the questions which I address here, what the meaning of this quantity or of this function y in terms of the quantum theory? And at this point, I need, well, in principle, and the answer on these questions is the following. So this would be the critical value of the y functional, of the Young functional in the Sine-Gordon theory. Unfortunately, I don't know what the y functional means, what the meaning of this object in the quantum field theory. I cannot define in the terms, intrinsic terms of the quantum field theory. The best way I can do is start with some latest regularizations, replace the system by the system with a finite number of degrees of freedom, apply the method, standard method of Beta and Zas, and calculate, then introduce the y function there, Young functional there, by standard way, and then consider the scaling limit. And that would be my strategy. I will explain how we can indeed, how to show that the functions y, which is was introduced as a on-shell actions of the Sinch-Gordon equations, how it can be identified with the critical value of Young functional and Sine-Gordon theory. Okay, so the regularizations, again, it was discussed actually in the morning lecture by Professor Jimba. So it's based on, we replace the systems by a so-called unhomogeneous six-vertex model. So we built the model using the just standard six-vertex weights, introducing some, and the parameter theta, capital theta here, introduce the anisotropy, the three types of vertexes here. We also introduce some quasi-periodic boundary conditions, some twist, parameter k appeared. And and there's some standard procedure based on the algebraic Beta and Zas, how to derive the system of Beta and Zas equation for this case. And this is how this Beta and Zas equation looks like. This, now we have a standard right-hand side is very standard. And left-hand side, we have a functions which depend on anisotropy. This is theta. This is the same theta, capital theta here. And the parameter, the twist, will appear to the some additional phase in the Beta and Zas equation. By the way, when theta equals zero, this equation turned to be just identical to the XXZ model, which with the twist boundary condition. Okay, once we have solved this equation, we have a solution, then the energy and momentum of the state, of the Beta state, will be calculated through this relation. Okay, and equations almost the same as the XXZ model. And for XXZ model, the Young in 1966, Young and Young introduced, well, observed, have been observed, that these equations can be written in, as a extremum condition for some special functions, y, I call it y. This function looks like this, with some strange function u and v. So there looks some transcendental function here, u and v, but the derivative of this function, actually elementary function, derivative with respect to theta, would be the elementary function, so that's not so bad. But actually, if you take a look on this formula, this equation, you immediately see very simple mechanical interpretations of this equation. What we have? We have just a system of particles, potential energy for the system of particles, which interacts through the through body potential U, but it also puts in some external potential V. Two-body potentials is some terrible function, but actually its behavior is very simple. For large separation, for large state, it's just a Coulomb law, one-dimensional Coulomb laws. So it's a linear potential. As for the external potential V, it's, for large separation, again, you can easily see that the potential looks like a potential from two heavy ions, positive if you think about these particles as electrons, one-dimensional electrons, then it would be ions with the opposite charge, and with and the charge would proportional to the number of electrons. And there are two ions. And the theta, capital theta, is just a separation between these ions. And also, there is some weak external potential, a linear potential here. We assume that it's weak, so K is restricted by the conditions like this. So here is the picture. So for the systems, you have electrons, blue electrons, two heavy ions with the charges, and some weak linear potential. We are talking here. We are talking about the ground state. So that was actually the Young introduced this functional in order to show an existence of the solutions of the vacuum equation. So I'm talking about the vacuum case. So real bit errors. So all the real, but clearly now we see that our physical intuition suggests that this potential should possess some global minima. And it's not difficult to show that the energy, once you calculate the value of y functional at this, the critical value of the y function, then and would be the function now of the parameter of the separation between ion. If you then differentiate with respect to the separations, then you get the energy. This follows from the definitions of energy and momentum in the system. It's easy. Okay. Now, suppose now, let's consider the case when separation between ions are fixed and a number of electrons became very large. Then the picture is clear. We expect kind of condensation. We can distribute some condensations of roots, condensation of electrons in the vicinity of the ions. And so in this limit, in the large N limit, we can describe the distribution of roots through the some continuous density. So it's a elementary exercise to show that this density is just a sum of two elementary functions. We have this form. And this is how the numerical way, if you now calculate the solutions numerically, then you will see that that it matched, this density matched pretty well the distributions of root. Okay, but another limit, we can consider another limit when theta goes to infinity, but for fixed n. What happened in this case? In this case, there is no any reason to expect this, such a picture, right? What happened if theta goes to infinity? You see, immediately see that all beta roots in this case, you have two ions, which is well separated, and we expect that all the electrons will split it on two clusters, right? Which is half of the electrons will condense near the one ions and another one through the other ions. The system, you can actually easily see if you now shift the value of theta, you consider the equations in the vicinity of the one of the ion, you'll see that then you can neglect one of the denominator. Denominator, and we see that the equations, Betanzas equation, turn to be the Betanzas equation for the same type of Betanzas equation, where with theta equals zero and n replaced by n over two. For this reason, we expect the following asymptotics. So if n is fixed, but theta goes to infinity, then that would be the terms which describe the interaction between the electron, just a monopole-monopole interaction between, I just used the standard notions from the electrostatics with the monopole, dipole, quadrupole, right? So monopole-monopole interaction is just the interaction between the charges, the total charges of the clusters. The terms which describe the interaction between the two clusters, and then would be the term which describe the intrinsic potential energy which doesn't depend on theta. And also, the remaining part would be vanished and theta goes to infinity. So this is a picture when theta goes to infinity. And the energy and then use the energy, if you differentiate now the Young function with respect to theta, then see the behavior of the energy and theta goes to infinity and fixed n. And now a final thing, we need to consider the scaling limit. What is the scaling limit? We should send both n and theta to infinity, right? In such a way, and keep one, the parameter r fixed. This parameter should be fixed. Let's call, that would be, we play role of randomization group invariant. Okay, so and this limit, remember then, if theta is fixed and goes to infinity, then this quantity just turned to be zero. But now when theta goes to infinity as well, then it's not zero. It would be a function, some scaling functions, and this scaling function coincides with the energy of the Sine-Gordon theory. And in order to proceed, now we should so it's a normal scaling behavior. It's a normal scaling behavior of the energy. And now the question: what quantities should be scaled normally when we consider the y function? And it's quite natural to consider not y. It's considered the quantity subtracts, make some subtractions. Subtract the interactions, monopole-monopole interaction between cluster, and the quantity which is depend on n, but doesn't depend on theta, which describes the intrinsic interaction of the cluster. And this quantity, when theta is fixed and goes to infinity, this quantity is vanished. But now, it in the scaling limit possesses normal behavior again, and it's again it's as it follows from relation between energy and y function, that can be expressed as the integrals over the energy. Okay, so equivalently, we can write, equivalently, we may write the explicit formula for the scaling limit of the interaction part of the y functional and express in terms of the exactly the function y, which is appeared in our first part of the my talk. So here are the formulas. So you see that this way we see that the scaling limit of the Young functional can be identified with the actions of modified Sinch-Gordon or Sinch-Gordon equation. Okay. Okay, so let me now turn to my conclusions. And so that's just some illustrations of the relations I mentioned in the, from the very beginning. So we have two different systems, classical system, classical Sinch-Gordon equations, and there's some very natural quantities on this theory, on shell actions, right, which is a Lagrangian equation, on shell actions quite looks very natural. We have a critical values of, we call from the quantum part, we have a Sine-Gordon theory, we have a also, quantity which is looks natural, Young-Young functional. Unfortunately, it looks like the role of this quantity in the quantum field theory was underestimated only recently in the development of the work of Samson and Nikita. They pushed these people to study this quantities, object, Young-Young functional. But it seems that this quantity was, in quantum field theory, the role of this quantity in the quantum field theory was underestimated. But now you see that but it looks very natural for the integrable quantum field theory. And you see that this quantity actually came inside. So this is exactly the relations I start with, the relation between the classical and quantum. So they describe these two different descriptions of the same structure, mathematical structure. Okay, thank you.
Questions?
Do you know analog of this relation for some other integrable two-dimensional field theories, like for principal chiral model or I don't know, SF
no.
model?
No. Well, there's some. Well, there's some indication that this relation is very general, actually, for quantum.
And what would be the procedure to generate?
You know, my strategy, I can explain, well, I can explain my strategy, what's have to do. Actually, the whole this story, all this business start with the conformal field theory. When we started with Volodin and Bajanov and Sasha Zamolochikov and some integrable structures in conformal field theory, and then at some point it was absorbed due to the remarkable conjecture of Patrick Dore and Roberto Tateo, that the Q function, the transfer matrices in quantum conformal field theory, can be related to monodromic coefficient, to the Stokes coefficients for the some ordinary differential equations. And that's appeared for the model, some simple conformal field theory, central charge less than one. But then it was found that this relation exists for many, many different conformal field theory. And they are actually related to the, some boundary flows. Now you see, and this relation, so that's not accidental from this point of, because and at some limit, this modified Singh-Gordon equation, strange Singh-Gordon equation, turned to be exactly the differential equations, the auxiliary problem for this modified Singh-Gordon equation turned to be the second-order differential equations in the conformal case, but in some certain limit. So since we know the differential equations for many models in the conformal limit, then we can restore, try to restore the massive models. And it looks like that all this works very well.
Is there any relation with classical integrable Hirota dynamics, which always appears in the...
You know, Hirota dynamics, it seems to me, it's a kind of artificial things in all this integrable business. I don't know. I understand that, you know, there's a kind of... they're much more useful and powerful approaches in integrability, the integral Destra-De-Vega type equations. Where, in certain sense, the Hirota equation is just a kinematic relation. And once you, the Q functions, for example, the Baxter functions, it contains much, that looks very much more natural. Let me just explain you from the point of the Singh-Gordon equations, where it is the T functions and where is the Q functions. So we have a cone, remember, and we have a connections. Flat, it can be the equations, the modified Singh-Gordon equation can be formulated at the zero curvature conditions for the sum connections. Once you have such a, and the compatibility conditions gives the equations of this. Right. Once we have a zero curvature representation, we should, of course, the first thing we need, we should do is to consider the monodromy. Different. What kind of monodromy we can? And here is some special point. Remember that P is. This is point S bar. SS, actually. SS for real can be chosen. What kind of monodromy we can consider here? Well, when we doing the local integral of motion, we can consider, for example, integrate the connection along this line. Equivalently, we can integrate on this cycle. But there is another choice of the contour. We can integrate from the tip to infinity. Right? And of course, these two monodromic this monodromic coefficient can be expressed in terms of the monodromic coefficient. And this monodromy, along these directions, it's just a Q function, expressed in terms of Q function. And all the relations between the Baxter equations and all the relations just flows from the, some elementary manipulations with this transfer matrix. All this story, but remarkably that all this story will work, perfectly work, can be applied for not only for Sine-Gordon equation, but the quantum Singe-Gordon equation. And the same strategy can change. You see that it was always quite, it looks very strange because when you quantize this, you have a Sine-Gordon, quantum Singe-Gordon equations, and they look very similar, but the spectrum, the quantization procedure, all the quantization procedure was completely different, right? Because, well, for example, in Sine-Gordon model, we have Destra-de-Vega equations and an infinite number of TBA equations. In Singe-Gordon equation, we have, for ground state, describe only one single integral equation, one TBA equation. So the quantization looks very different. But in this picture, from the point of view of modified Singe-Gordon equations, all the machinery, actually, looks exactly the same. So all the procedure, you can kind of analytically continue in terms of the coupling using this picture of Singe-Gordon equation, modifying Singe-Gordon equation. And for this, all these monodromic coefficients looks very natural, both in Sine-Gordon and Singe-Gordon equation.
So is it true that the critical value of the Young-Yang functional here that you consider is at the, for the vacuum, right, at zero temperature?
Hmm?
You consider the Young-Yang functional at the vacuum configuration?
Yes.
Which is at zero temperature,
yes.
Right?
In what sense is zero temperature?
Sense that at zero temperature is like the ground
state. Well, that's maybe some confusion at this point. We consider the systems in a finite volume. Our
right.
Space direction was R. You can think on the same picture from the point of view of the infinite volume channel, then that would be place the inverse temperature. In principle, all the result can be interpreted as the statement of the specific energy as a function of the finite temperature. And K, the parameter K, namely IK, would play roles of the chemical potential.
Ah, okay,
this is a system.
So it's finite temperature.
Finite temperature. But,
okay. Then let me make a comment that this symmetric Sine-Gordon model that you study, as you mentioned, it also appears in scattering amplitudes. But this describes just a very particular set of scattering amplitudes where you have just some hexagon scattering amplitudes in a very specific set of kinematics. And if you want to study the most general polygon in any kind of kinematics, there also exists a Young-Yang functional.
Yes.
Well, which is a bit more general.
That's a very good point. Yes, indeed. So this very particular, so we have a PZ, which is Z to alpha minus S to alpha. And in the problem for the amplitude, right, alpha actually equal to 1. This should be integer, right?
For amplitudes, alpha should be, you should have an integer, but you can have any polynomial.
So this number is related to the number of gluons, external lights. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
It should be integer. Some polynomial here, right? So
yes.
we have a, not just some simple equation. And the It looks like that there should be some quantum model, which is much more general.
Yeah, but we found it. So we wrote the...
No. Yes, but see that...
For integers, yeah, for integers.
What kind of model are you talking about? What is the quantum counterpart?
I think it's called homogeneous. I don't know much about the quantum version, but I think it's called homogeneous Sine-Gordon model.
Okay.
We could discuss, but there is some S matrix, there is some dispersion, and...
My question is this point. If you are able to solve this model, arbitrary polynomial...
Arbitrary polynomial, but polynomial, not...
It's a polynomial, right?
Yeah, polynomial.
Then you can consider the limit, short distance limit, right?
Yes.
And this limit, we will get the Schrodinger equations. With arbitrary equation like this, where with arbitrary polynomial potential. So at the limiting case of your problem, you should be able to solve the problem of the Schrodinger equations with the arbitrary polynomial potential. So arbitrary polynomial should be here.
I'm not sure if the boundary conditions are the same.
Well, this is exactly the same. This P translated, if you do the short distance limit, that would be translated to this polynomial.
Okay, great.
But as far as I know, actually, so you should immediately inform Voros about this, because these people spend a lot of whole their life in studying this problem. So this looks rather interesting and complicated problem, if you are able to write down the system of TBA equations for this. Because it should be just a short distance limit of that. Yes?
I think we got the different boundary conditions from the one you imposed in the...
What do you mean, boundary conditions?
You were trying to solve for normalizable wave functions in the x direction. This was not...
But you still are talking about the Stokes coefficients here, right? I don't quite understand what...
Yeah, I think in principle, yes. I think, yeah, that's...
I don't see the much difference in asymptotic behavior of this potential and that one. For large Z, they behave, so the asymptotic is the same. I don't understand the difference of this problem in the semi-classical level. But anyway, it's very interesting. I would say that...
But the point is that there we are not computing the... Yeah, the energy appears in a different scales in a different way. It would be like solving a set of problems where I believe the energy would scale.
For this particular case, if you choose this one, that you get the anharmonic potential with this problem. This was our starting point. And now you said that in principle you can solve this problem as well. It's a very strong statement.
No, the statement is that for
if you are able to find the complete system of TBA equations.
Yes, for any
for this arbitrary potential, that
yes.
as a sub problems
yes.
solution will include this one.
Okay, great. But
I don't know what is the solutions, but you should remember that this problem. Was the subject of study for more than
We discussed this at some point, but I thought we will discuss. I think energy would scale a bit different. It will not be exactly Schrödinger. It will be Schrödinger where energy appears also in the potential. We should go to the paper.
Okay.
Let me just ask something.
Yes.
Because when we got the Yang-Yang functional, it was not the air. It was not the action. Of the Sine-Gordon model. It was part of the action of the Sine-Gordon model.
Well, that's very...
Is it the same?
It was just
e to the alpha. It was not the full action of the Sine-Gordon model.
That's my very little difference. I can... what I said, the normal scaling behavior, the wave function itself, how it defined, right? This one. It doesn't develop the normal scaling behavior. And the reason for this, of these terms, you see, it doesn't depend on theta, but it's scaling logarithmically. So as n go to infinity, these additional terms behave like logarithm n.
My question is not about the action,
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, what's the relation between the, so it's just a part of?
I think we have e to the eta, so I think we just want integral of e to the 2 eta.
Sorry.
Sounds like this might be an ideal evening discussion.
Yeah,
one last comment.
Just in regards to the first question, in terms of generalizations, you had, there do exist generalizations even from the old days. You know, you can generalize the classical Sinch Gordon to classical TOTA, or sort of
yes.
the affine extended TOTA.
That's very easy.
I would say, and then the integrable one is, but then the question is, well, presumably then your generalization should.
Yes, that's for class of, by the way, that's answer the questions about the example, I forget about it. But of course, for TOTA theory, for real TOTA theory, so let's say, the AN, right? So the start like this. Something like this, right? Okay. And some affine roots. Something like this, right? So the generalization is very simple. Indeed, it works. So you just take the, if you start with the quantum to the theory, then the classical counterpart would be the same to the theory, and then you should add some additional, modify the terms with the corresponding to the affine root. The same way and as a Sinch Gordon and the Sinch Gordon equation. So that's straightforward, actually.
So this is slowly turning into one of these famous Russian-style seminars. So I propose we thank Sergey again and have some tea.